a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Happy Monday to you. I mean, you've already been into your Monday, so for some of you, you're almost to your Tuesday. Congratulations. So, Scott Mitchell, across from me here, we've...
And some people, this is still their weekend.
We busted our butts from broadcast house to run over. This is the closest we've... This is the closest call we've had. Although, to be fair, we were here. We just ended up having a conversation with Scott, with Hans and Scotty until... You know.
Yeah, we were talking shop.
Yeah, why not? Scott, good to see you. Good weekend.
I know you traveled.
I know you traveled to Arizona.
You want a little update?
How's your mom doing? Everything good?
Well, I was sent on a secret mission. Bring my mother binoculars.
You know what's
my
funny?
My 85-year-old mother binoculars so she can spy on the papers.
Will you please tell that story quickly? Because I think people need to be updated. So your mom wanted binoculars for what?
Well,
not
so
for bird watching.
She has a window outside of her building where she lives.
So she has her son doing dirty work for her.
Right. And I didn't understand what she was trying to say. She's trying to spy on the neighbors. I thought maybe it's one.
What does she think
they're up to? It's a whole block. She can see the back alley of about 10 houses.
But what is she out to find? Does she have some theories about what these neighbors are doing?
Well, yeah, she's got the best conspiracy theories there are.
So she's pulling her, she's doing all the gossip with the binoculars.
Is what she is. Gladys Kravitz. My mother is a real life, she's a nosy neighbor and she feels like some nefarious things are going on.
My favorite part.
But the funny part about it, this is the funny part. She looks out and she goes, wow, I can see everywhere. And then I found out later, she goes, well, all I could see were the rocks on the ground. And she goes, could you please explain to me how to use binoculars?
Yeah, okay.
Like she thought she had to turn dials or push buttons.
Yeah, no. And you're an experienced peeper.
I go, Mom, just look up a little bit. And I said, what you have to do is don't stand right by the window because people will see you. You got to kind of stand back and, well, sit in her chair.
Right.
So once she figured out how to operate binoculars, she didn't put them down.
Okay, so
what's great about this weekend is
your sister discourages.
She's probably watching right now. Think about the cat that just sits in the window and just stares.
Her?
That's my mom right now.
So are you okay revealing how old your mom is?
She's 85.
85. So she's 85. So the best part about this is your sister said, don't
do
get
not
mom
get
binoculars.
Her binoculars.
And you went...
She's 85.
Come on,
man. She's in a wheelchair.
See, that's what's funny to me is that you and I doing this is felonious.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
we'd be put in prison.
Hey, man, could you give
me? You're creepy.
Give me some nice binoculars, dude.
Yeah.
And we already discussed the telescope at your house that points down.
Right.
It's nowhere near the sky.
I can see all the way to downtown from my house, just so you know.
So it runs in the family.
Yeah.
So she's passed down that that gene to you.
Apparently
well, I'm glad.
So.
I'm glad your visit to your mom was good. Good on Arizona, and always good to visit with your mom, right?
Yes.
So it's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had that little.
You
getaway.
Know, I heard some stories this weekend I've never heard before.
See,
they're not. They're,
are they true?
Well, apparently my uncle worked in the worked for like the OSS during World War II or the Secret
oh,
Service.
Oh yeah.
And apparently, he came home with an attaché case that was. Like handcuffed to his body, and he had to sleep in a certain room.
Is
and
it she in the family still?
She walked in the door, and he pulled a gun on her.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
said,
wild.
You need to leave the room or I'll have to shoot you.
Okay, well.
I've never heard that story in my life.
She probably kept it from me
it's
as a kid.
New story.
Yeah. It might be embellished a little bit, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to do that on our show. Alex, you need to get out of here. I'm going to have to shoot you.
All right. Let's start the week off here with some Monday action. We start every hour off with the cut, so let's jump right in here. Let's talk some college football real quick, shall we?
The Unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut, as usual, brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of The Cut. So Michelle Bodkin, KSLSports.com is where you can find her write-up. Pretty fascinating discussion about kind of how is it that your team got to where they are, right? In this case, of course, she's the Ute insider for KSL Sports, so she
yes.
dives into Utah and kind of how it is that they got to where they are. And you think about when was Utah football at its worst, Scott?
When was it at its worst?
When was it at its when was it at its absolute just like you're looking at them and you're going, you're not in a real conference. You're not. I mean, the wins don't happen. I'm not saying in recent history. This must have been in the 60s, 70s. I don't know where.
Well, the 60s Utah football was pretty decent.
It was good.
70s, it was okay. It was it was middle of the road in the WAC conference.
Okay.
I think Jim Fossil's second year at Utah, the team went 2-8. Was it 2-8?
So, and that's prior to you showing up.
That was right. Yeah. So
right
that was my
time.
True freshman year.
How did you commit to a team that was doing so poorly, by the way?
They weren't doing poorly. His first
oh, okay.
year,
his
they
first
were,
year he did well.
They were 8-4.
So you
had a really close game against BYU. They had a fun, awesome, exciting offense.
See, I think the
really, really fun coaches, like Coach Fossil's staff, those guys were just
well,
they were fun.
The guy ended up having a pretty lengthy NFL coaching
yeah.
career. It wasn't like he was
he
new
was
to the
35
block.
Years old when he was hired as Utah's football coach.
Right, he was just that was the very beginning.
It was kind
of
his first head coaching job.
So she brings up the or at least she kind of threw it out there on Twitter, like, hey, how did this get here? And I was fascinated to think about kind of how your team got to where they are, how the pedigree of what your program has done has gotten you to where you are, right? And so for Utah. That pedigree, started with football long, 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 long time ago. If you go back and look in those record books, they've been playing football forever.
Yes.
And there was this long period of time where BYU couldn't even sniff a win against
no.
Utah for, those. But those were the years, too, that most people go, I'm not really familiar with the early teens.
Ike Armstrong,
30s,
and I mean, he was a great coach. I mean, Kyle just surpassed him a year ago as the
winningest coach.
Winningest all-time coach, yeah.
So Jim Fossil's name comes up, and I think that despite the fact that what was brought up was, and maybe this person was saying it as a joke, Jim Fossil's team, yeah, they're the ones who put us on the map. But the reality was is that the offense that you guys ran, and Michelle brings this up, was exceptional. It was the best offense that had ever been in this Utah program, and it was one of the
record-setting.
Record-setting, yeah. Points-wise, but also record-setting on the defensive points-wise, like you couldn't stop anybody.
We were – so at the time, there were 104 teams in Division I.
Mm-hmm.
We were ranked number one offensively. We were 104 on defense.
That's
not a joke.
It's good for you because you're on the offense. You're like, wash my hands of this thing. Did you? Or were you frustrated? Were you like
oh,
every
I,
game
I,
were
I
you
despised,
frustrated?
I hated it. It was just like, it's like all I wanted to do is go to a bowl game, want to win the conference
and then
championship.
You're like, we can't get a
and
stop.
And we it was like, well, we just outscore people. And then our defense complained that our offense scored too much and too fast.
So they're on the field too much.
They're on the field too much.
Okay. Talk about a first world sports problem.
That was massively first world. Here's the thing, and I don't want to toot my own horn. I mean this in all seriousness.
Hold on, let me clear the decks here for you. I'm going to move away from my microphone. Go ahead.
So, I was not supposed to go to Utah. It made no sense. None. Like I grew up in Utah County. I'm related to Lavelle Edwards. I'm a quarterback. I have connections to former quarterbacks, a lot of connections into the university. It was a foregone conclusion that I was going to go to BYU. And really, I was the first real recruit who got away. And that wasn't the moment. And I'm not taking credit for the moment because we were terrible. But I think it kind of gave people like, maybe there's something here. Now, you know, we didn't back it up by winning, but it was really, in my opinion, it was really right when McBride got there. And I think if they'd have stuck with Coach Fossil, I think he would have done a lot of things. He probably would have gone on to a different job because he was a career coach person. But I can just tell you, when he got fired, it was like he finally figured out how to really do it the right way.
Well, and I think that – so a lot of people throw –
because we had talented players. They just were criminals.
A lot of people throw – oh, yeah. You guys had some issues. What were you guys, the Miami of the West? Isn't that what they called you guys? You guys, that's why they called you the U, right?
Right. It was like U light, you know? It's like it's diet U.
The thing is that I think that when you told me about all the problems.
Utah zero.
When they told me about all the problems, when you told me about all the legal issues that guys on your team had, I went, to try to run a program, my heavens. I bet Jim Fossil was kind of relieved in a way because he was just like, I can't do this. Like, you know, having the struggles that they have. But I look at Utah. So a lot of when you bring up Ron McBride, I think that's where a lot of people. So you guys start coming into like some ridiculous offenses.
So we
you leave and
McBride comes in.
Ron McBride comes in. Yeah. He tried to even convince you to stay.
Yes.
And I think last year when we were on the air doing Football Friday, one of the time you guys finally like hugged it out. And
well, here's the thing with Coach Mack. Okay, and not every football coach has everyone loves them. I'll bet he's about as close to people really loving him as a person and as a coach that there might have been in all of college football. He had this
like a player's coach kind of situation. Like he was
tough.
The guy.
Like he was hard nosed. He did it in a very like loving way.
Mm-hmm.
This is all you need to know about Ron McBride. Okay, I never played for him as a head coach. Well, he was the line coach my freshman year, and he was funny. I mean, he was just there. There just had a lot of personalities on that coaching staff, and he was one of them. He was a crazy guy. I had a football player when I was coaching at Springville High School passed away, and Ron McBride showed up at the funeral.
Wow!
And unannounced, walked in the door, and that just told me everything I needed to know about him. And that's really how he was with his players. He truly cared about them as people. I mean, that's the thing I think that made Lavelle so great. But Ron McBride was a great recruiter. Like, he got talent. And he was probably a greater people person. He got a lot of guys in the door. I mean, Luther Ellis was a big get. And he was the perfect example of how Utah has recruited through the Mountain West and the Pac-12 is they've been masters at projecting what these players can become, and they really get the best out of the players that they find. I mean, Montrose, Colorado, in the middle of nowhere, they find Luther Ellis. Now, what Urban did is Urban took that talent and probably got the very most out of it. I don't know that Coach Mack maybe got the very best out of his time. Maybe he did. But Urban really took Ron McBride's players and squoze every last ounce of them out. And so I think it was kind of in my mind. It was like a perfect storm of people. Because then you have Kyle Whittingham, who was mentored by Lavelle, by his dad, by McBride, by Urban.
Right.
And you just you take pieces of all of that. And he was probably the best guy to take Utah into the Pac-12 era because he didn't go anywhere. Like I think the biggest contribution Kyle Whittingham has given to the University of Utah is his longevity. They stayed with it. Was he the very best coach out in America? Was he the most innovative, forward-thinking guy? He was a hard-nosed, defensive-minded, you know.
Listen, we're in 2022-2023 season coming up, and, like, we're starting to see accolades pouring in for the guy that he's been working on for the last 15 years, yeah. Right? I mean, that's really what it is.
It's that consistency where they've real, and it's not just him, it's the staff. And they've really learned and developed and understand. And it all started back with McBride, how to recruit these players and what you're looking for and how to get the most out of them. If you talk to Freddie Whittingham, who's Kyle's brother, they have we should get Freddie on our show. We really should. And we should just talk to him about how they project players in recruiting. It's fascinating.
Would he be like kind of would he be sharing the farm, like their how they do it, or is it how their process is? Or is it just unique to Utah because that's just their that's just the way they approach it or whatever?
I think to some extent Kalani knows it and does it at BYU. You know, Gary Anderson had a lot of success with it when he went to other places before he abruptly left everywhere. But it was really McBride that really started that whole process of projecting a recruit.
When you say that he took bits and pieces of everybody who was kind of right there, you know, that he'd been under, obviously pieces of Lavelle, that would have been a huge part of what Kyle brought with him. You know, what he saw, what Lavelle and his staff did, what Ron McBride did, obviously. When you say he took even pieces of what Urban Meyer, what were the contributions of the Urban Meyer?
Well, Urban was extremely organized, like, and how he structured practice, how he structured the tempo of practice, the expectation that he put on players. Like, you know, you hear Urban go, we're going to break. Urban Meyer's problem. Or is Urban Meyer is stuck back into Woody Hayes, like that tough, like Urban Meyer is he's a modern day, he's really an ancient version of, you know, in modern football, because
the my way or the highway type of doing it.
It's the tough guy, you know. Yeah. You think of Woody Hayes and you think of Bo Schembechler, you think of all these old, grinded tough like. Like, if you're going to survive it here, it's going to be a tough deal for you. And you know, you think of Woody Hayes punching a player from Clemson and just kind of how he was, just a real hard-nosed guy. And that's how Urban was. He was, you know, he was kind of a jerk to the player. I mean, he was a tough guy to be around in practice, but he was, like, brutally organized. And with as far as recruiting goes, you know, I don't know that there might be anyone better than Urban at recruiting. I mean, he is on it, and he's masterful at it. But he recognized that it's about speed, and if you get these speed guys, you can't coach speed. And that, I think that's where he took Ohio State to national championships, is they got speed to match the SEC.
You know, I think that a lot of folks see what kind of Utah's, when you think about what it took for Utah to get where they were, a lot of what it was, as I'm looking through some of the history here of some of these coaches, Ron McBride, I mean, for all the work that he did, I mean, even in that 1994 season, I think that they were sharing the WAC title with like two or three teams, maybe.
Right.
I mean, they finished number 8 in the coaches poll, number 10 in the AP poll. And that was a competitive freaking conference, man. And by the way, we didn't obsess as much over the, like, out of conference schedule stuff back then, but they had intense. They had really, really tough games. They ended up playing teams that all ended up ranked, you know, that year, and that's how they got to the, you know, the spot where they're, you know, 10-2 on the season. But that was, I think, for most people, they said that in 1993, 1994, those teams, they went to the Copper Bowl in 1992, and that was like, hey, man, like, Utah's back in a bowl game.
Yeah.
And then they have
But they didn't have the Copper Bowl when I was in school. I mean, right. there are more copper bowls. There's more bowls.
Right, sure. But I think
the Mountain West era, Alex, with when BYU and Utah were in it, when you had Air Force that was really good, when Wyoming was really good,
San Diego State
was really good. Hawaii.
New Mexico put up a few good
years
there.
New Mexico wasn't a cupcake. That was a pretty good conference at that time. It really was. There was that, and it was fun here, I think, in Utah because Utah BYU meant everything.
Right. Like, and that was just the biggest thorn in their side of like progressing was they would be number 10 in the country and they'd have to share a WAC title with them and Air Force.
Right.
You know, that's how good those teams were. And it wasn't until Urban Meyer went 10-2 that first season with Alex Smith in 2002 that they won the outright title. Yeah. That was the first time they'd won an outright title in the conference title in like 50 years, you know.
And you got TCU back in.
Yes,
that was a good part of the program.
We obsess over. The good news was is that. I look at what Utah does, and we'll take a look at kind of – I think it's interesting to do this, and I think we can do the same thing kind of with BYU and kind of how they got to this point. But I'm looking at this picture right now of Kyle Whittingham and Britton Covey hoisting this Pac-12 championship, and you go, oh, my goodness. The amount of years and the grind that has to happen for a program to get to the point where these guys have gotten now. Because – and what's hilarious about it is – now you know why that these publications all go, yeah, Utah could be pretty good. But win projection-wise, they have them still behind USC because it's so freaking hard to stay consistent. Good news for Utah fans is Kyle Whittingham still at the helm. I think once Kyle Whittingham ends up leaving Utah, that's going to be a really, really hard time unless they can find somebody who can replace that legacy. Every coach that's been hired since Jim Fossil has just been better and better and better. Now, that's a pretty insane thing to think of the last 30-plus years.
It's remarkable, the climb of Utah. It really is.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. Out of the gates, talking about some college football. Scott, make you feel good?
Yeah.
We still have our final countdown to get to today. We've got Gordy Chiesa around the corner. The NBA playoffs have taken a weird turn. We loved Luka Doncic after he had that second-round playoff, that second-round series against the Phoenix Suns. My heavens. We were like, there's nobody better. And now, with the Mavs down 3-0 against the Warriors, there's no bigger dog in the room than Luka Doncic. People cannot believe how bad the Mavericks are doing right now against this Warriors team. Or have we just been not handicapping this Golden State team to what they should be talent-wise? We'll come back. More to go. Gordy Chiesa is going to join us next. The coach right around the corner. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.